So for centuries, this Sunday, the first Sunday after Easter, has been known in the church as Low Sunday. And it's not just because there are fewer people in the church on this Sunday, although this is the truth. It's obvious, right? They call it Low Sunday because for almost all of the followers of Jesus, all day long on that very first Easter day, well, it was a very low day, completely out of the wind, sails down, heartened, disheartened. But it's true, there were a few women who were very excited. They had found Jesus' tomb open wide, and they said that they had heard an angel say, "He's risen." And they saw Jesus, they said, and he spoke to them. But honestly, if you weren't there in the garden that morning, would you believe what they said? I mean, having seen the week that they went through, I'm not sure I could muster it up. I mean, especially that soon. Belief. That soon. When John shows us this story, he zooms in on a particular scene. He picks some words out for us. It says, they had locked the doors. The disciples are hiding out. Sun gone down on the day, and they are huddled up in this room. Fear, guilty because they'd run away, terrified because the same people that had put their master down was now after them, right? So they're locked up. John hands us the story, says the doors had been locked. So here he is, and you can't blame them. You can't blame them for being afraid, can you? World gone insane, violent, your enemies out to get you, so they closed and locked the doors. Hey, at your house this morning when you left, did you lock the door? Yeah, we did too. When you've been on the road and you thought, did you turn around and you go back and lock the door to make sure it's locked? In the parking lot right now, is your car door locked? Our phones have these passwords, which is a lock. Our computers have locks on them. There is no shortage of locks in our lives, which I think over time paints this layer like butter on a bread of fear. We're used to locking stuff up. Maybe we lock out our own lives. We lock out love. Maybe John puts this text together with this word about forgiveness next to these locks because, well, it's a metaphor. If you retain forgiveness, do you find yourself locked up inside your own life? You're sure locking some other people out. I don't know. It seems a little funny to me, though, if you think about it, the very day Jesus' tomb is opened wide, his people click, close, and lock the doors. Jesus at large, out in the world, free, running around, his people are hiding from the world on that day, which really isn't a problem for Jesus. Guy's just conquered death. A little lock on the door isn't going to keep him out. And so there he is, shows up right in the middle of the room with them. Nobody expected this, but there he is, right in the middle of the room, in their midst. The English translations, most of them that we're handed, say what that text said, that Jesus came and stood among them. But the old King James Version, archaic as it may be, I think gets it more correct, bringing it into English more accurately by saying Jesus came and stood in their midst. Because the Greek, the original text, says Jesus came and stood in the middle of the group, in the middle of all that fear and worry and apprehension and anxiety and weariness. He stood right there in the middle of that, gathering all of that stuff into his peace, into himself, really. I think if Jesus were to show up in this room right now, he wouldn't be over in the pulpit or at this table. I think he'd be out there with you, shoulder to shoulder, side by side with you, with your actual concerns and needs and your anxieties and your dreams and your hurts and your aspirations, side by side with you, gathering all that stuff up into himself, all of it, bringing the very best of news. They brought the very best of news to those friends in that room that night. You'd think it might be a little bit different, though, having just come back from the dead and going to visit his friends who had abandoned him. You'd think there might have been an edge of sarcasm or a little bit of reprimand in his language, but not from Jesus. I think when I see it, if I would have showed up, I think I'd ask something like, "Oh, how come y'all ran away?" And why didn't you believe the women this morning? And hey, y'all, why are the doors locked? But from him, not one word of that. Not a minute of it. He says just this: peace be with you. Peace. He says it from the center, in the midst of them, in the midst of their failure, in the midst of their love. It's like he brings all of that into the orbit, the radiance of his love and of his power. And now he speaks to them and gives them a sign of the depth of his power and of his love. He extends to them his ruined hands and shows them this gash where he's been speared in his side, showing them in large measure just exactly how much he had put himself into the midst of. Well, he's in the middle of the room. He showed them their hands. Peace, peace be with you. Shows them these wounds. Peace, peace be with you. He says it again. Jesus is standing at the wonderful and the terrible center of it all. And he's gathering all of it. All of it. Gathers it right into his own peace. And then he speaks a new word to them, which I think might have caught them a little off guard, a little bit by surprise. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Now, I'm not sure what you hear in those words at this moment, but I hope in this moment that you can hear the sheer honor of it. Like Jesus is knighting you to go with him and for him on this great adventure. And of course, if we really are listening to these words, we're going to hear a little bit of threat in it too, right? Because he's hurtling us right into the middle of it, into the thick of it all. As the Father has sent me, so I send you, he says, into the midst, into the thick of the world's busyness and commerce, and in the world's universities and politics and governments and all that daily stuff of real love and real life. Into friendships and to conflicts, into the great work of reconciliation, which sometimes will leave scars, into the pain of other people, so much so that sometimes their pain begins to feel like your pain, if we're doing it right. God sends Christ in the midst of all of that, and even so, he sends you. I am sending you, he says. You know, Christ meets us in these rooms that we call churches. For a moment, he meets us here together. And the doors, well, the dang doors are closed, y'all. Maybe we close them because the weather we want to keep out, although today I don't think we want to keep much of this weather out. Maybe we close them because we want to keep some of the noise out. I think it's a symbol, though, that our lives are too much enclosed. Maybe we're afraid. Maybe we're a bit afraid, like these turkeys were that day, hiding out. Afraid of people we don't know yet. Afraid of what people might think of our faith commitments. Afraid maybe of change. I think, truth be told, that my life and my doors are too much closed. And maybe yours are too. Even so, Jesus comes right in the midst of our worship here today, right now. He is standing with us in this room and says with infinite kindness, peace, peace be with you, peace. But not just here. Above all, as God has sent me with a word of peace for the world, so I am sending you from here to do just that, he says. Christ has wounds to show us that are not in this room today with us, may never be in this room with us. Has wounds to show us, and has a peace to impart that we may not ever experience and cannot express inside these walls here in this room. He has met us here to send us back into our real world relationships, into our homes and to our workplaces and our schools, and to a mission field that is far from here, and to the mission field that is just on the other side of the door. He promised he would meet us there. Guess we better unlock the door. What do you say? You pray with me? Help us, oh God, not just throw open the doors, but the windows of our lives, so that your breath, your life, breathes through this whole world, and we wake up like you to a love that cannot be contained in the death of our graves. In your Son's strong name we pray, and in your love, dear God, now help us live. Amen.